إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him. We seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the potential evil of ourselves and from the consequences of our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He's alone without any partners, and I reject all false worship and religions. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we ask Allah to raise the rank of the messenger Muhammad, to raise his mention, to shower him with blessings, with grace, with peace, with security, along with his family, his companions, and all those who follow his guidance to the last day. And I would like to welcome everyone to another episode of our Thursday night classes in the Islamic Center of North Hollywood. And it's a pleasure being with all of you, brothers and sisters. And I ask Allah, as He gathered us here today in this location, to gather us in a better location with our Messenger Muhammad and all the righteous followers of our Messenger Muhammad and all the rest of the messengers and their followers in the highest gardens of paradise in Firdaus. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that paradise is made out of many, many, many different levels. So if you ask Allah for paradise, then ask Him the highest of paradise, because you're dealing with the most generous. Don't think that your actions won't get you there. Just ask. What's going to happen? What can go wrong? You either get it or you don't. But just ask. What matters is you asking your Creator. So nothing is out of the question with Allah Azza wa Jal. So ask Him and be certain that Allah will answer your call. I wanted to cover so many things today. I've been with you for about, 4 months. In these 4 months, I've given about 4 Friday sermons here in this masjid, and maybe 10 Thursday night classes. And it's been a great pleasure. So I just wanted to thank every single one of you for coming, showing support, and hopefully benefiting as well. And I had an engagement today, and I called Brother Ghassan and I told him, have dinner right after Salah because I'm not going to be here. I had to be in downtown. But because you guys are so dear to me, I canceled the engagement I had. I had to go to a program in USC. And alhamdulillah, I'm in a better place. With better companions. Inshallah. So, well, there were going to be some brothers over there, but you know, maybe I like you guys better. So, anyway, that's number one. So I just wanted to appreciate everyone. And as a token of my appreciation to everyone, I have gifts. And the student of knowledge, those who are involved in sacred knowledge of Islam, the most beloved thing to them is books. So I love for you what I love for myself. So I decided to bring you guys some good books. So everyone tonight will leave with books. You can start your Islamic library officially. However, my gifts are conditional gifts. I don't work with no conditions. My gifts must be read. If you don't read it, you will be held accountable in the Day of Judgment. So the reason I'm giving you these things is so you can read it. Hold on, that's one condition. Now, the other condition is, if you already have the book, or you already have read the book, then give it to someone else. That's number two. And you will be held accountable for that. Number three, if the book is written with the intention of sharing the message with non-Muslims, which some of the books are, and I'll explain exactly what every book covers, then you must, after reading it, give it to a very special non-Muslim that you know. It's only for Christians though. Don't give it to like a Hindu, because like Hindus don't believe in Jesus. So the book is about Jesus. So a very special Christian that you truly care about, and that you've had a great relationship with. And this is the best thing you can offer them. It's called The True Message of Jesus. So, and then some of you are more special than others. Like Ghassan will get a whole box because he works so hard and because, you know, I bother him a lot. So he'll get a whole box. But it's not for him. He has to give out all this box. So it has got about a, you know, a lot of da'wah material, and this is what he likes to do, to share the message with our neighbors. So that's what I wanted to start off with. We did something today that many of you maybe have not done before. We prayed Salatul Isha. Inshallah, we all do that regularly, right? But what we did is something called Qunut al-Nawazil. Qunut al-Nawazil, I spoke about it a little bit last week. It was the tradition, and because we're in the spirit of celebrating the tradition of the Messenger and not just claiming to follow him or to celebrate his birthday party that really he did not celebrate, but what we decided to do is to learn more about him and to implement his tradition. So today that's what I decided to do. I have not done it in a masjid before, but because I feel comfortable in this masjid and I was just overwhelmed and I just read what the scholars said about tomorrow. Tomorrow is an international day of rage all over the Muslim world for the Syrians and the atrocities that are committed against them. All the major scholars in the Ummah said tomorrow is dedicated for them. So we must make extra dua for them. And you specifically make in your dua, you curse the oppressor by name. You mention him by name. And you mention the ones oppressed by name. So that is the tradition of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned a story last week. It happened on more than one instance in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time he sent a delegation of people who had the Quran memorized to teach the neighboring tribes the Quran. So the neighboring tribes decided to betray the Messenger and they killed all the memorizers of the Quran teachers. So the Messenger for a full month, he made dua against these tribes by name. He said, "Oh Allah, destroy this tribe. Oh Allah, destroy this tribe. Oh Allah, destroy this tribe." He said, "Oh Allah, shake the earth underneath of them. Oh Allah, destroy them. Oh Allah, make it on them the difficult years that happened to the Egyptians in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam." You know, in the time of Yusuf, those 7 years, they had a drought. So the Messenger asked Allah to give these disbelievers who betrayed the messengers and the ambassadors, to give them that type of treatment. Now, how can we reconcile between this and the fact that Muhammad is a mercy for mankind? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We've only sent you as a mercy to mankind. This is part of his mercy. When oppression is taking place, the most mercy you can do is by stopping the oppressor. Not by saying, "All right, do it again," and turning the other cheek and ignoring what's happening to your brothers and sisters. The one who does not speak the truth when the truth must be said is a silent devil. That's the teaching of our tradition. And if you're not going to say the truth, then keep your mouth shut. That's what we've been saying. Unfortunately, many Muslims have not awoken up to this fact, and they're into conspiracy theories. But we don't know who's behind the uprisings in the Muslim world. We don't know whose fingers are behind it. You know, it might be the Masons, it might be the Jews, it might be this and it might be that. Muslims are being butchered. The least you can do is make dua for them. They're getting slaughtered like animals, like qurbani. Where's our feelings? Anyway, the tradition of the Messenger on another occasion was that there were believers in Mecca. Do you all recall that? You know, the Messenger migrated from Mecca to Medina, but there were still some persecuted believers in Mecca. And Mecca was a non-Muslim state. And they were really persecuted. So the Messengers would make dua for the persecuted Muslims in Mecca in Salah as well. The way this dua is called dua al-qunut. Qunut means to beg Allah. It's performed during Salah. So this is something special about it. It's performed in the final rak'ah of any of the 5 daily salawat after you come up from ruku'ah. Just like we did today. And you say it out loud. And the imam makes the dua and you can say ameen. You don't have to say ameen, but it's encouraged for you to say it. You don't have to be loud about it because Allah hears your prayer. What I wanted to do is to translate some of the things I said in the dua, because a lot of you are not familiar with it, because we make dua in Arabic, especially when it's during salah. So I said, and this was the tradition of the Messenger, he says, "Oh Allah, you're the one who moves the crowds about, and you're the one who defeats the confederates," which are the armies that are plotting against the believers. And then he would mention and curse the specific transgressor. So I said, "Oh Allah, destroy Bashar," which is the current president, the tyrant of Syria. He's the head of that government. I said, "Destroy whoever helps him out, whoever supports him." I said, "Shake the earth underneath of them." And I said, "Oh Allah, make it difficult for them, because they are not, they cannot deal with you, oh Allah." And then of course I mentioned about the believers. I said, "Take care of the believers in Hims specifically, because Hims has been under siege for the last 3 weeks. started shooting them with missiles. It's been artillery shelling for the last 2 weeks. But because the Muslims are resisting inside, and they're not allowing them to come and rape their women, and they're not allowing them to destroy the masajid, they couldn't do anything else but throw missiles at them. This is a government throwing missiles in a city, not in a battlefield, residential area. So that's what they're doing. So that's why specifically we said, oh Allah, take care of the people of Homs, and then take care of the people in Syria at large, and take care of all the persecuted Muslims wherever they might be. And we asked Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, to grant victory to the believers and whoever is giving them support, to whenever they shoot, to make it go straight and to make it hit the enemy and to grant them victory and so forth. So that was the dua at that time. This is one of the traditions of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I will assure you that in this time he would have done that. He would have prayed for his bleeding nation and he would not have celebrated his birthday party. That's not a tradition of the Messenger, it's a tradition of the disbelievers. And whoever follows them in that tradition wants to be like them. The Messenger says, you're with those who you follow and you're with those who you love. We love him, we love his tradition. So what matters is when you say, well, I love the Messenger, well, how are you with his sunnah? When you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, I bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. Is it just a simple statement like that? It requires four things of all of us. And again, this is all in the spirit that we've been covering. We've been covering his biography, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. تصديقه فيما أخبر is number one. To believe him in everything that is authentically reported by him to be truth. Every single statement that he made, you must believe. If it's authentically attributed. There is a lot of people who lie and make up hadith and make up sunnah. Reject that. If it's an authentic report, must believe in it. تصديقه فيما أخبر. So تصديقه فيما أخبر, believe in him in what he told in the past, for the present, in his lifetime, and for prophecy. And he mentioned a lot of prophecy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, طاعته فيما أمر. Obeying him in his commands. Whatever he commands, you must obey. So how are you going to obey him if you don't know what he commands? So it means you must spend some time learning his commandments. وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا عَنْهُ نَهَى وَزَجَرُ Staying away from everything that the Messenger forbade and everything that he warned against. And he made it very clear. He says, O my community, whatever I command you to do, then perform from it whatever you're able to. But whatever I forbid you from, then leave it off completely. So there is no excuse to commit things that are forbidden. Now you might be weak and you might not do all the things that are required because you don't have the capacity, but something that's forbidden, you must cut it off from your life. And number four, أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ That you only worship Allah by what He brought. That's the only religion. That's the only acceptable way. When Allah says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ It means the sunnah of the Messenger. The only acceptable way of life with Allah is Islam. The only acceptable religion is Islam. There is only one type of Islam. Islam is not Baskin Robbins with 31 flavors. Islam is one flavor. The flavor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We can only worship Allah with what He brought. Anything He did not bring, you throw it out the window. Anything and everything. And it doesn't matter who says it. Big Molavi, big saint, big peer, big beard, big head. Forget it. We have one messenger, alhamdulillah. Everyone else must pay dues to him. Must follow his teachings. That's basically a summarized thing of what the sunnah is. Because many people might be confused about that. Finally, what I wanted to cover today, and this is very amazing and ironic. Where is the brother from you? What day do people celebrate the birthday of the Prophet?
About
12 of Rabi' al-Awwal. What's amazing is, the scholars historically do not know for sure what date he was born in or on. He was born on a Monday, we know that, because he said, I was born on a Monday. But as far as the month, there is major difference of opinion, and as far as the day, there is major difference of opinion. However, what's ironic is the day he passed away, There is consensus that he passed away on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the day people celebrate his birthday. What's ironic is the one who introduced the practice of celebrating the Prophet's birthday followed the same religion as the Syrian regime today. They're the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 350 years after he passed away, they introduced this innovation. On the day he died, do you celebrate the death of someone? When you celebrate at the death of someone, what does it mean?
You're happy because he died.
Yeah. You hate him and you hate what he brought. But you spice it up and you make it into a party and you say it's a birthday party. And you fool the world. That's why we have to know the historical practices. Why do people do what they do? Don't follow them just like because it sounds good. Well, it looks good. The brother did it. MashaAllah, the brother's smart. He studied somewhere. He said his parents told him, his forefathers told him, don't do that. So what's ironic is people are celebrating the death of the messenger. And in Islam, we do not celebrate the birth or the death of anyone. We celebrate the teachings of someone by following the teaching. The messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam died on the 12th day of Rabi' al-Awwal. And that was the saddest day in the lifetime of the companions. And that was probably one of the saddest days prior to the Day of Judgment. Because the source of mercy in the creation passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what I wanted to cover is one of the final lessons. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا. The first house of worship established for mankind to worship is the one in Mecca. It's blessed and it's guidance for all of mankind. In it are signs that are clear, the station of Ibrahim, and whoever enters into that location will feel a sense of security and safety. We have to ask ourselves, why is that location special? Why do we have to face it five times a day? It's the center of earth. And as long as that place is safe, the whole of humanity is safe. Did you ever wonder why the non-Muslims don't destroy the Kaaba even though they're able to do it? Because they know that if they destroy it, the whole universe will start to be destroyed. And that's one of the final signs, is when the Kaaba gets destroyed, the world expires. Allah Azza wa Jal chose this place, and He made it into a sacred and safe place. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Mecca and Medina will be the headquarters of Islam as it started. In the end of days, it will be the headquarters again. So we ask Allah to keep it safe. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to His Messenger and He says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. This is called the chapter of victory, Surah Al-Nasr. It's one of the shortest chapters in the Quran. It's only composed of three verses. Allah Azza wa Jal called it a victory. When the companions who were scholars heard this being recited, they started crying. Even though what it says is, when the victory of Allah comes and the conquest, and you see people entering into the deen of Allah in many, many numbers, then praise your Lord and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness. In fact, He's the one who forgives. When Abu Bakr heard this, may Allah be pleased with him, he started crying. They said, why are you crying? He says, this is a prophecy of the Messenger's demise. Did it say that Muhammad is going to pass away here? It did not. But that was one of the final...
Someone dropped that outside.
Someone dropped a wallet outside. You can come up. I think this is your spot and you keep on leaving it. I know I'm shouting. I'll slow down. So, it was one of the final surahs revealed and it spoke about a prophecy that the messenger's message is finished. His task is done. he performed what he was asked to perform, and this was the time for him to leave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he entered Mecca sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is our example, he came in as a victor. He had victory. He's conquesting the place that kicked him out, persecuted him and his companions. He came in with humbleness. He was riding on his animal and his head was touching his knees. That's how humble he was, in a state of humility and humbleness to Allah Azza wa Jal. It wasn't the victory of anyone else. Allah called it his victory, Nasrullahi. He attributed it to himself. But it wasn't just that one event. It was the whole duration of the Messenger's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single instant of it was a victory of Allah. And whoever carries his message is causing victory of Allah on the earth. And he says, right after that, when the victory of Allah comes, what do you expect? Well, you expect that you're going to get some benefits. You're going to get natural resources, right? I mean, why do people go into war in the Middle East? So they can have the oil of the Middle East, right? Why do they go to war in Central Asia? So they can have the gas of Central Asia. And the weed, I mean the opium, sorry, of Central Asia. Because that's how their governments operate. Right? And why do they go anywhere else on the planet other than to sell their weapons of mass destruction and other type of destruction? So other human beings can kill each other off. That's the victory of mankind. The victory of Allah is what? And you see the people entering into the way of Allah in huge numbers. That is the objective. That people surrender to their creator. Not to Muhammad. To their creator. That was it. Once that happens, alright, you guys are cool. That's the victory of Allah. Simple as that. So it wasn't to take their wealth, to take their women, to take their natural resources, to occupy them. And we're not talking about the occupy movement here, which is a positive movement. We're talking about occupy somebody else's land when you're not welcome to occupy it. That required a long time of training, of discipline on the Messenger's part to his community. That's how they eventually made it to that. Especially the companions that were closest to him. Because they're on different categories, by the way, in degrees. There's the old school companions who were the founding fathers of Islam. And then there were people that were brand new. They just became Muslim right before the Prophet passed away. They're not the same, Allah says in the Quran. But they are all good. And whoever curses the companions is cursing the Messenger of Allah. Because you know what they say? When you say that the Messenger of Allah, the closest people to him are bad, evil, corrupt, hypocrites, it means he was a failure. So you're just saying the Messenger was a failure and he couldn't train his friends. That as soon as he died, they forgot everything he taught them. There is a religion that says that, by the way. There is a religion that says that. And they are supporting the tyrant government in Syria. What a coincidence. How do things work out like that? Wow. It's amazing. Even though that government says, down with America, right? Down with Israel, right? We are the resistance movement. We are fighting for the Palestinians' sake. It's a very big movie called propaganda. If their belief system is corrupt, all their actions are corrupt. And now, alhamdulillah, Allah is exposing them. They are catching Iranian and Lebanese soldiers supporting the Syrian tyrant and killing the citizens of Syria. Amazing. These are the same people supposedly fighting with the Jews. Subhanallah. But Allah Azza wa Jal says that eyes are not the thing that becomes blind. It's the hearts that are within the chests. So when facts are presented in front of some people, they're still blinded. And they just can't believe it. No. That can't be true, man. Can't be true. This final verse, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. سَبِّحْ, we mentioned that word before. Who remembers what the word tasbih means? No, I said that's not what it means.
Oh.
That's how people translate it. Tasbih is tanzih, which means Allah is lofty. He's above any imperfection that people attribute to Him. He is the epitome of perfection, the top of perfection. So, praise your Lord in a way that you declare His perfection. سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. This is a command to the Messenger and to his community after him. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. And seek his forgiveness. In fact, he is most forgiven. This is happening after 23 years of hard work. Allah is telling him, repent. And after this was revealed, his wife Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and may Allah destroy the ones who hate her. She is our mother, and some people hate our mother, and they talk trash about our mother. If I talk trash about your mother, what do? You get angry. She's your spiritual mother. Allah says it in the Quran, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. His wives are the believers' mothers. That same religion curses the wives of the Messenger. They call them whores. They believe in that. Amazing. They're supporting the tyrant in Syria. SubhanAllah. So special. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, when Allah revealed this verse, I would constantly hear the Messenger in his ruku' and in his sujood saying, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghafirli. He would make this prayer, which is obeying the command of Allah. He would say, praise unto you, O Allah, you are the most perfect, forgive me. After 23 years. This was a sign that it was his final days. It happened after the victory and the conquest. And this is a message for all of us. And this is why I wanted to finish off with this class. Repentance should be the ending of every righteous action. What do we do after salah? The first thing you say after salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You just worshipped your creator. You obeyed him. What do you say? Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, cover my sins. Oh Allah, forgive me. Why? Well, there's many, many reasons. But that's the way of a Muslim. The Muslim is not someone who says, man, I just busted them two rak'ahs and man, it's all good in the hood. I just got that burden off my shoulder. Where the Messenger says, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَةِ. The best and biggest pleasure in this material life for me is standing before my Creator and worshipping Him. And after it, the first thing he would say is, Astaghfirullah, and he meant it. Because he's like, I did not worship you sufficiently, O Allah. I did not thank you enough. He would stand up at night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You wanna claim you love him? He stood up at night, so much so that his feet would get swollen. Have your feet ever gotten swollen? Because of standing? Maybe standing in line in Six Flags. Or the iPad store, the iPhone, waiting in line for the big sale, right? Well, the sale with Allah is the sale of good deeds where you stand in front of Him and you worship Him extra. And that's why he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him, the perfect human being, human being, key word. He's not above human. Every day he said, I seek forgiveness from my Lord 100 times. Every day. In fact, when he was sitting in a gathering, his companions would count for him that he said, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh 70 times. Like, what kind of conversation is that? If the whole time he's saying, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Hey, how you doing, Ahmed? Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. How you doing, Hassan? Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Tell me about your family, man. How's everything? Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. That's how he was. Constantly reminding people of their purpose. Seek forgiveness for all the poor choices you make and for not worshipping your Creator enough. This was the end of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his whole life was spent in the sacrifice and in the strife for his Creator, worshipping Him, and he finishes off seeking forgiveness. That's the history of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's his life story that we started about a month ago. That's how it ended. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us true followers of His.
Ameen.
And may Allah Azza wa Jal guide us to perform actions according to His way and no one else's way. Because really, it's only His way or the highway. Not your way or the highway. His way or the highway. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us to follow His way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What time is it?
8:30.
So we've been speaking for 30 minutes. Do you want to go a little bit more or no?
Yes.
10 more minutes. Okay. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. One of the most important things that I want you to remember from this particular visit of mine is that you must say this statement as much as you can. And whenever His name is mentioned, you must say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not extra credit, it's an obligation. He says the stingy person is the one that whenever I'm mentioned, he did not send salutations and peace upon me. So durood sharif, as-salawat al-ibrahimiyya, whatever you want to call it, it's a very important aspect of worship. And what it gives you is peace of mind and guidance when everyone else is confused. The more of it, the better you are. Guaranteed. It's one of the best statements and formulas of remembering Allah. Best statements of supplicating. One of the companions said, O Messenger of Allah, how much of my prayer should I make, not dedicated to you, but for your sake? You see the difference? You pray to someone, we only pray to Allah. He's the object of worship. But when you pray for someone, I say, O Hassan, may Allah get you a righteous wife. I'm praying for him. So one of the companions said, how much of my prayer should be directed for you? So I'm directing it to Allah for your sake. He says, as much as you want. He says, what if I want to do like a third of my dua? A third of all my dua, I want to direct it to you. Which is to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. He says, it's up to you. He says, what I want to do, a half. He says, it's up to you. He says, what if I want to do all my prayer for you? He says, if that's the case, then you would have no stress, no depression, no anxiety, and all your affairs would become easy. That's a good deal. You don't need to pray for anything else after that, do you? Right? And we're in the eve of Friday, and the tradition, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best day that the sun has risen over, the best day in creation, our weekly holiday, the only special day of the week is Friday. He says that day Allah created Adam, that day Allah took Adam, that day Adam came out of paradise, and that day is the best day for you to do salah ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on that day, the day of resurrection would start. Friday is very special. So we have to prepare spiritually for every Friday. And the best thing to do is following the command of Allah, where He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah commands. He says, Allah Himself and His angels do salah for the Messenger. O you who believe, do salah for him and send him peace. Now each one of these salah is different. The salah of the believers, when we make salah for each other, it means we're making dua for each other. So when we make salah for the Messenger, we're saying, O Allah, bless him. That's what it means for us. When the angels make salah for you, what they're doing is seeking repentance for you. And it's in the Quran. The angels say, ارحم المؤمنين, اغفر للمؤمنين. Forgive the believers, have mercy on the believers. So that's the salah of the angels upon the Messenger. When Allah does salah for someone, it means Allah mentions them in the highest of places. ذِكْرُهُ فِي الْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَى. It means Allah blesses the individual and mentions him up with the celestial bodies, with the angels. So Allah is doing something, the angels are doing something, and we're expected to do something. Which is say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And you can repeat after me. Wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Wa ala ali Ibrahim. إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I need a volunteer. What's this young man's name? What's your name?
Rayyan.
Can you go inside and ask my wife how many sisters there are inside? Can you do that? My wife is all in black. She looks like a ninja. Ask her how many sisters are in there, please. Wife, how many sisters are in there, please? That's so we can give them enough gifts. Oh, I forgot about Benjamin. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. He should be my volunteer, but it's okay. Right here. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. It's okay. I confused the young man. Poor guy. Okay, so basically that prayer, it does not mean peace and blessings be upon him. That's very deficient in translation. It means, O Allah, raise the rank of the Messenger Muhammad. Raise his rank. Bless him. Shower him with grace, with blessings, and protect him from all evil, along with his followers, the righteous followers, which includes his righteous family, his righteous companions, and all his righteous followers. Thank you. Thank you, Rayyan. 10, right?
10, 11.
11. Okay, may Allah reward you. Thank you very much for that. And there is 3 there. Okay, so we have about 13. Okay, alhamdulillah. So, my message is increase in your durood, increase in your salah ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Take that. Another message is please forgive me for my shortcomings. I shout a lot and I'm loud. And if I hurt your feelings, please forgive me. Another message is I love you all for the sake of Allah. And the Messenger told us, when you love someone for the sake of Allah, you have to tell them. You can't keep it in your heart and say, I'm shy. You can't do that. Except if it's a sister. You should be shy. Don't tell her, sister, I love you for the sake of Allah. That's not for the sake of Allah. That's for the sake of somebody else. So, and we ask Allah to love us in turn. Because the prayer that you make, like when I say I love you for the sake of Allah, the tradition of the Messenger was that the person tells you, may the one you love me for love you. So look at the relationship. It's all about Allah. So I love you for Allah. I don't love you for your money. I don't love you for beauty. I don't love you for your race. I don't love you for your nationality or your status. I don't love you for how long or your short your beard is. I love you for the sake of Allah. So you tell me in return to remind me about being sincere in this relationship. May the one you love me for love you. So if you love me truly for Allah, then I ask Allah to love you. But what happens if you love him for something else? Like I love him for the money. Well, may the money love you. Okay, good for you. Money's not going to love you. Money don't have feelings. So may Allah love you is the reply that we make. And that's what we want. We all want Allah to love us. Because if Allah loves us, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It does not. The Messenger, Allah loved him. So when the whole of humanity was against him, he can care less. Except for their well-being. He used to cry because they're destroying themselves. But Allah gave him what he wanted. He gave him guidance for his people in his lifetime, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After 23 years, it took a long time. So you have to be patient with your loved ones. Whether they're Muslim already and you're trying to encourage them to become better, or they're non-Muslims, you have to be very patient. You know, and our example is the Messengers. Anyway, so now we start with the gift distribution, inshallah. Number one, who are the brothers who embrace Islam, the converts? How many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Doesn't matter, man. Somebody from America, not from overseas. That's what I mean. All the ones from America, not from... Okay, cool. Tayyib, inshallah. Because I have something specific for them. Anyway, so now I need help. Everyone, inshallah, will get a copy of this book. So, Majid, I need you to help me, please.
Sure.
You can stop it. Thank you. So everyone will get a copy of this book. Majid, everyone will get a copy of this.